B-Pod Studios.
Talk a little baseball here because Phillies have not exactly lit it on fire winning-wise in the Grapefruit League, but a lot of other activities going around, and Harper getting hit. They haven't had their full lineup in there. There's the pitching thing. There's Carlos Santana and his bat smashing Best Buy equipment. Let's bring in the man who knows all about baseball. He works for The Athletic, works for Major League Baseball Network. He's all over the place. His name is Jason Stark. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mike.
Jason, first of all, let's talk about the Harper thing. Encouraging that you got a couple hits off minor leaguers. You wanted them to mix in a couple singles here. And he finally did it.
Yeah. Like, I'm in Lakeland. I was not there to witness it. I saw Jim Salisbury's tweet that he asked for the ball after he got the hit.
No, he did.
minor league game.
I like that sense of humor.
I like it, too. Mike, he's not ready. That was my impression from watching him a couple times last week. He is not ready. His timing's off. He hasn't gotten into any kind of rhythm. And they are so lucky that hit by pitch did not turn into like a week or 10-day absence.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he would have been trying to get ready during the season. No. Nothing good could have come of that.
Yeah, he wasn't very happy after that happened. And there was a little snipping back and forth. I got to ask you the protocol here, because you've been mild on this, and you know my opinion on this. Thursday when they play a race, somebody's got to go down early.
In spring training.
In spring training, yes. That was a 96-mile-an-hour heater off the $330 million guy.
I can pretty much assure you that guy was not trying to hit Bryce Harper.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's got to pay.
Okay. You know, I can't say I've covered a lot of spring training brawls. There was one time where Larry Boa charged the mound. I feel like Roy Halladay was pitching for the Blue Jays and killed somebody, and Boa came running out of the dugout when he was the manager, and all hell broke loose. But you might be advocating that. I am going to predict safely that nobody's going to get drilled.
Okay. Who's pitching Thursday for the Phillies? Do you know?
I got other things going on.
I'll dig that up. We'll see. Somebody's got to get buzzed, at least, you know, a little buzz.
All right. You're gonna have to get word to, like, the pitching coach or something, because I'm not.
Yeah, well, they pretty much know what they have to do. We'll see if they do it. All right, let's talk about some other stuff that's going on. You're right, he's not ready. He's late on a lot of pitches. He doesn't have his timing. And so the start of the season, I'm worried about that start of the season where he's not going to be in sync. They're willing to live with that. I mean, I don't know when people lose their patience. I assume he's got a long leash here because of what he has said so far and done the right things. But how long should our patience be?
Well, how are the first 10 games going to go? They're going to be 8-2 or 2-8.
Okay, so it depends on if they're winning. Yeah, I got you.
April's been his best month of his career. He's always gotten off to good starts.
Yeah.
But he's not ready. Remember, the one thing that was really surprising when he came into camp was he said he had faced no live pitching the entire offseason. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, and he has actually faced some really good pitchers and hard throwers so far. So it hasn't been easy when you don't have your timing. It's kind of difficult to.
I mean, it took him 4 days before he put a ball in play or faced a three-man outfield. Faced only four-man outfields. It was really a bizarre start to spring training.
All right, Jason, the dream outfield scenario is done, it looks like. Doesn't look like Mike Trout's going to play center field next to Bryce Harper. We were talking about this in Florida and when we had you on last, that, you know, these teams now are not going to risk letting their star players get to free agency. They're going to climb in because they know the price is only going to go higher. Isn't that what just happened with Mike Trout?
Yeah, and one thing we learned from this is, like, Bryce Harper is not a good tamperer. apparently it was going to take more than a couple of texts to get Mike Trout to Philly. $430 million would have been way more helpful.
Yeah, or you could have taken a cut of his $330 million and said, okay, we'll stave you off for a couple years.
Yeah, that would have helped. That's very disappointing, huh? Look, I wrote in November, when I wrote about the possibility of Trout and Harper playing together, there was a quote from an executive from another team who said, I would bet you that Artie Moreno, who's the owner of the Angels, would spend $10 billion not to have to read the sentence. Artie Moreno was the owner who let Mike Trout leave the Angels.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what this was about. And I'm going to give you credit. I do a lot of talk shows. I read a lot. You are really the only person hammering away on this theme that when John Middleton went star hunting, there was a strong possibility that Bryce Harper was his only shot. It's not like when you go star hunting, you go to the star hunting buffet line and there's infinite numbers of superstars to choose from. Most of them never appear on your radar screen. And there was always a really strong chance that Mike Trout would never be an option for the Phillies. I think they all sensed that as much as everyone wanted to dream about it.
I think Bryce Harper's the last guy. He'll be the last guy. Mookie Betts is the next guy, right? The Red Sox are going to come in just early, just like Artie Moreno just came in. They can't risk it because the prices are not going to come down. Right? They're only going to go up. So if you wait 2 years to sign Trout, then you're in the $480 million territory probably.
I don't know. It's hard to argue that Mookie Betts is better than Trout, or that he's had a better career than Trout, but he's really close behind. He's right behind him, and he's had a better career than Bryce Harper has. He would hit free agency at 28. He's got some bargaining power.
Yeah.
And it's been the history of Dave Dombrowski, wherever he's gone, that he doesn't let players like this get away. But, you know, I'm busy trying to write a Trout reaction column, and I was just looking at their payroll situation. And if they sign Mookie, let alone if they sign Mookie and Chris Sale, they're way over it. They're in the absolute ultimate top tax bracket. They're in the kind of territory that the Dodgers were in a few years back, and with no real way out that I can see.
Yeah.
I
feel sorry for Boston that they're in that kind of situation. I really do. That's a terrible thing.
If they sign Mookie Betts, that's not a $400 million deal when it's all said and done. When you count all the taxes, it could be a $600 or $700 million deal.
Yeah.
They are in a big-time tax bracket. But they showed us last year, they're the one team in the sport that they don't care.
Two questions left. The one is, the story that broke yesterday about there being a lack of discipline in the Phillies clubhouse to the point where Carlos Santana came in, smashed a couple TVs because the boys were playing Fortnite. What can you add to that? What is your reaction to that?
You know, I have not been around the Phillies since that story broke, and so I haven't done any specific reporting on that story, but I think you and I talked about this a lot last year. That team lacked veteran leadership. So much of the leadership burden was placed on Rhys Hoskins. I felt sorry for him. It was his first full year in the big leagues. And even though he's got tremendous leadership skills, he wasn't prepared, I don't think, to deal with something like that. And really nobody in their clubhouse was equipped to police something like that. I thought this a lot. You cannot win without a strong culture, and that starts with veteran leadership. You can win without chemistry, but not without culture. And I hope you understand the distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is by design, and you're crafting your culture when you go sign for Andrew McCutchen, the ultimate pro, when you go trade for JT Realmuto, who's a leader and a winner, and people gravitate toward him. It showed by what they did this winter that they understood that was an issue. And everything that you've heard Gabe Kapler talk about and some of these players talk about since they got to spring training tells you that whether or not somebody was smashing the clubhouse TVs, that was a huge issue.
Yeah. All right, last question, and it's a technical question. On it looks like 3-4-5 will be Pivetta, Eflin, Velasquez. Can that survive?
How do you mean survive?
Survive meaning can they be good enough for the Phillies to actually get to the playoffs with that 3-4-5, which means they're going to have to hit and their bullpen's going to have to come through. Is that good enough to get it done?
Who are those three guys? You know, Pivetta's look really good. Eflin's look good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you ask other teams, talk to scouts that have been on the Phillies, they're upbeat about Pivetta and Eflin taking another step. But we've been through this many times. The Pivetta, Eflin, Velasquez of April through July was good enough to get the Phillies into first place. It's the reason they were there. The Eflin, Pivetta, Velasquez of August and September, that was not good at all. That was, I think I've used this stat on you, right? But when anybody but Aaron Nola started after August 5th, they were 13-30. And that's not good enough. So who are those three guys? They have to be the Eflin, Pivetta, Velasquez of April, May, June, July. Or no, it's not good enough. Not.
Okay. Question on the way out. The NCAA tournament, I know you're a big college basketball guy and you're a big Syracuse Orange fan. And it looks, if Syracuse gets past the first round, which I believe they will against Baylor, guess who they play? The Zags of Gonzaga. Can the Cuse upset the Zags?
No. remember now, Jim Boeheim's protege, Mike Hopkins, coaches Washington. Mm-hmm. And Gonzaga only beat Washington this year on a shot at the buzzer. So the zone will bother them. Syracuse beat Gonzaga in the NCAAs a couple years ago, but they're not big or physical enough to beat them as currently constituted. So, no.
All right. Who's your winner?
I got Carolina. What about you?
Like that. They're playing very well right now. That could very well happen.
Who you got?
I think I'm in agreement with you. We'll see what happens.
What do you know? What do you know?
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you. I've been impressed by the way they played down the stretch.
Woo!
Yep.
It's loaded, man.
Yep,
loaded.
They are.
All right, Bob, Jason, I'm going to run out, fill up my bracket right now.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
See you, Mike.
Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.